Oh, come on, yeah. History is yesterday. Whoops.
I guess when I graduated from high school in 1928, I needed a job, as every high school graduate does. And a peculiar thing happened. Normally, my father would have had me doing it, but jobs were in small supply. So he interviewed and talked to the druggist who owned the drugstore and was able to get me a job. And as I recall, I was maybe one of the few that summer that had a job that was seemingly exciting. I'd like to comment a little bit on Peggy's wage rate, which I thought seemed very inflated. I went to work for him, and we didn't, we didn't talk a lot about how much I was going to be paid, and we didn't talk a lot about, or any, about how long I would work. But I worked from 7 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night, a couple nights a week, and from 7 in the morning till 10:30, maybe 3 or 4 nights a week, every other Sunday, which I think averaged out to around 70 to 75 hours a week, for which I was paid the magnanimous salary of $12 a week. And I was happy to have it. $12 bought quite a bit in those days. I guess I don't have the antiquated feeling about that store, because the man that ran it was so modern and so, in some ways, far ahead of his competitors, that what I learned was relevant to my retail experience in later life, somewhat near those years. He was very progressive, very, very service-minded. But I think I should be talking more about history, and that doesn't seem to me to be, too far back in history. I do remember the things that we did in the drugstore, which I was a part of, and that was that we sold a lot of bulk things, as we did later in the grocery store in bulk. And one of the things we sold was mineral oil, and we got it in a barrel. And so my druggist employer, George Mills, always insisted that the customer was the most important thing in the store and in our job. But I was in the back one day drawing out, in possibly November, gallons of mineral oil into jugs, and it went very slow, the flow of the mineral oil. And so in the meantime, he had me running a few errands, and I came back and forgot about it, and I forgot about my first job. Came back, and we were about 1 or 2 inches of mineral oil around the barrel, for which I was nearly fired. I think perhaps that's about as much.
Oh, that's good. Anyone else have a... Oh, good.
I'm thinking about my Grandpa Chalmers. Grandpa Chalmers lived with us, and he sat in a rocker the late years that I remember him by the kitchen stove and chewed tobacco. And I never could understand why Mother got so upset about that wooden pail by his chair. I have a better understanding of it now. And Mother tried so hard to interest him in the bay window where the sun would come in and it would be so warm. No. Grandpa sat by the kitchen stove with long whiskers. But he was really an influence in my life. He was an old Scotchman, of course, and told these superstitious tales. I can remember my mother standing in the door and saying, "The things he tells that child." Well, that child sat in her little green rocker. I still have the little green rocker. And listen, and I remember, and I'm writing these things down. I shall never get it printed, I realize now. I don't have enough years left. But I'm trying to write these things down because they're priceless. And he was firm. If you have a brain, you shall use it. That meant, get your grades up, kid. If you have a homework, there's none in the world shall do it but you. Okay, I'll do my homework. If you want that job, you go and get it. Well, then I had to get it, or what would Grandpa think? And I generally couldn't. I used all the wisdom Grandpa had bestowed and went and got the job. If you want to go to college, you can walk. Well, it would only have been 125 miles, but I got there without any money. I suppose that because there weren't any radios to tell about the weather conditions, that Grandpa had learned how to tell weather without any help. And I'm trying to write down all those things. Some of them are a bit far out, but they're the most fun. Some of the weird ones I have to pass on to you, though. For instance, if we all should get up and leave the room, it would be wise if some of them would look back. That will quiet the ghosts, and they'll do no mischief while you're gone. If you get up off a rocking chair, oh, never leave it rocking, for the next one to sit in it will surely come to some trouble. It was lonesome for me when Grandpa left. I was a little older, too, and then I had to get up and help with the work like my sisters had always been doing.
Changed in the years. It's just, I think I'm probably the oldest one in the room. I don't know, but...
Couldn't tell it by looking at it.
Well, I am. I'm 84, and if I live till January, I'll be 85. 18th of January. I've been wonderful to know about the railroads in Waseca County, and my husband started working for the railroads in 1914.
Well, the railroads were real important to the city of Waseca, for sure. And that, you know, the occupation, and I think that's the point that the slideshow made, was that occupation can be a community within a community, and the railroad sure was a good example for our county. As you were talking about the Brown store, I was thinking about what it was like to be on Main Street. Does anyone have any recollections of Main Street, Waseca, about the people? Because today, you know, I walk up and down Main Street almost every day, and there's the same people that I greet. What was it like 30 or 40 years ago? Does anyone remember who the characters were in the stores or on the streets and the restaurants? Who were some of the movers and shakers, as they say, of this town? Anyone? And they might not be the influential, you know, but...
It's hardly history, but I gave you a copy of 1940, identifying every merchant on Main Street for a period of 4 blocks.
So what were some of the people like? You know, those are the businesses. What were the people like? You know, the ones who were in those establishments, were there anyone that stands out in mind?
I'm not from Waseca, but I'd like to mention something that hasn't been mentioned.
We were talking about the work ethic. My first job was for 10 cents a night doing dishes in a boarding house, and that was on our Main Street. And a woman by the name of Julia Daniels, who was in her 70s, cooked for these 12 people. The 12, same 12 faces were always around the table. And at night, after they were done eating, I got to go in and do the dishes for 10 cents a night. And that was in 1933, and the town was Varna, New York, which is 4 miles out of Ithaca. And that was something which we no longer see, boarding houses.
That's
they
right.
Have faded.
And there were lots of them in this town.
Or did you get a mail with it?
No. So, well, as you pass it, someone grab it and tell me about the...
Well, speaking of eating in groups, when I was teaching, many of the teachers ate at, we called it a boarding house, and it was really fun. This woman had a great big table, and we'd sit around, and all the food was excellent and very reasonable. I don't remember the exact price of it, but anyway, those things certainly are passé now.
I'm not from Waseca, so I really can't tell about the movers and shakers other than what I've read in the old newspapers. And in that study that I did of music in Waseca County, a really mover and shaker was a man by the name of Perrin.
Perrin.
Okay.
And a lot of people remember him.
And he was influential in starting bands. He was in the music store, apparently.
It was Brisbane and Perrin.
Where the coast to coast is.
Our Christmas father.
No,
and when I dug into the newspaper, I think in the early part of the 1900s, and then even later, you know, like 10 years later, he was still influential. He was always doing something, starting some kind of musical group, a band or an orchestra. And I thought of him when Paul Rudd was alive and was always doing the same kind of thing, a person who can be very influential, a musician can, by always...
They pick up the torch almost from one generation to the other, you know, you pass on those...
And I thought he was someone, this Perrin, I'm glad to know how to pronounce his name now, would be somebody that I would have liked to have known.
It's...
Want to pass it?
His wife's brother. No, what was his name? The man that was at the head of the...
Hodgson?
Chairman?
No, no, no. University of Minnesota.
Berman.
Yeah. That was
Bernie Berman.
Bernie Berman was his wife's brother.
Right.
And they lived in that great big house out by the
Harold Matson.
Harold Matson's house now.
Right.
That
great big house.
Harold Matson's house.
And they had one daughter, and that was when I was a girl around here, and we used to be together. And speaking of music, do you remember in Waterville, the Gileses? She was a concert pianist in New York City, and she came back to Waterville, and I had the privilege of taking music lessons from her. And I should have continued my music, which I didn't, but I was ready to graduate, and I never finished my music. And that's a long time ago, too. But I was really... And then Dorothy DeBar was another person that was a very well-educated person, and she just died not too long ago in the hospital at Verona. And she was a most wonderful pianist than anybody could ever. Her dad was old Jim DeBar. He was a character too.
Any other people that you can remember from Main Street? Vi, can you think of?
Her father.
Describe her.
What an influence on
Anne Frampton. Can you do that?
And auditor.
Well, in the founder of the Historical Society, could you describe him? Would that be too hard? Sometimes it's hard.
I think it would be better if somebody else did.
Okay. There are people who I wish I could meet. And
so was her mother. Her mother was the most gracious person that she couldn't see, but she knew. She knew everything. She was a very good influence on Hermie Hazel.
I should have met the answers. I'm sorry you couldn't.
I know, I will. Sometimes you, in history, you like to time travel. As soon as they perfect that, I'm going to the first trip. So, but, anyway.
After I read the story about Miss Dell, I couldn't help but think of Katie Hogan. Anyone who had her. I didn't have her, but I used to see her at the teachers' meetings when I first came here. And she was one who was very punctual and I'm sure demanded complete attention. And I don't think anyone ever would question anything Katie said. Another one would be Miss Knaus, who was just the opposite of Katie in many ways. I didn't have her, of course, either because I didn't go to school here, but I used to hear the girls tell about if anyone were chewing gum, she never said anything. She just walked on, put a little piece of paper on the desk, and they would put their gum on it. And she never raised her voice, and I'm sure she was a wonderful teacher. I think there are many people in Waseca that have benefited very much from both of those teachers.
I think as you look back as to the people who have influenced your lives, many times you pinpoint a teacher, I think, who have opened up the doors.
Mentioning Ruth Knaus, she was the only teacher that ever sent me to the principal's office. Oh, I'm not sure. It wasn't too bad. But there were a couple of interesting things. One of the most interesting, I think, was my daughter, our oldest daughter, also had her as a teacher. And I remember the first teacher's conference, and Ruth Knaus looked at me and she said, Susan was a better student than you were. And so I said, Ruth, I think the conference is over.
It was interesting that when she had difficulty speaking during part of her latter years, that was the most well-behaved, quiet classroom in the whole school.
She had a device from the telephone company to help her project the class.
Sylvia? Did Sylvia?
Yeah.
Come on, why don't you?
No.
Well, can anyone else think of somebody, especially in, you know, the main street that's right outside our door, or possibly even in the courthouse across the street, people that they've known?
Those old W.S. Brown and the sources.
And Herder?
And Herder and Somerset.
Now, is there any way you can describe these people? Their names are familiar to me. I try to...
Does anyone know the wholesaler that had Mr. Isker?
Oh, that Armstrong?
Armstrong.
And they just tore his building down now. He used to live in the corner with his horses. Quite a bit of team of horses. If she wouldn't let him drive the horses were hers. And then Nell McCarty used to have a restaurant. They had a boarding house, and she used to tell, many a time she told us about sitting on the balcony and watching people go by and down the street, and that was the only way that they had to communicate people to see what the outside were. And then they had them dancing, and she, it's too bad she didn't leave a resume of her life because there was a fair thing for
them. Oh, I think everybody's life, you know, would be interesting if you could record it. One of the things, as people were talking, came to mind is the different types of stores and occupations that are represented on Main Street. You know that, you know, we don't find any grocery stores right on the Main Street anymore. How has that street changed? I know that, Ev, you could probably tell us about your 1940s, but there even were garages, you know, car garages right on Main Street. Anyone would like to talk about that a little bit, how our Main Street and how the services that we need in a town have changed.
Wasn't Duber
Arna always on Main Street? I think, were Duber's fabric store there, or near someplace in that block there was a theater. Well, there was, yeah, the state, but that's next to Duber's.
The park.
Because we have the letters from the park.
It certainly, again, doesn't seem like ancient history at all, 1940, but when I came here, there were about 10 or 12 grocery stores on Main Street. And, you know, they were primarily the grocery stores, and all of you remember that. And there were maybe a couple or three neighborhood stores. But this gradually reduced down to where, I guess, there aren't any on Main Street now. One or two of the stores were almost primarily meat stores, which was a pattern of the old days. A man would have a meat market, they called it, but often wouldn't have hardly any groceries until in the later years. I think one of the interesting things on Main Street, not to do with retailing, is the evolution of our library system. And there was a time back in the 40s when the library should have been on wheels. You know, it went from the City Hall basement to the community building to the lower building in approximately that order. And then finally, spirited citizens realized we had to have a library. And through the help of many people, including Mrs. Cooper and Willard Donahue and others, we wound up. And I'd like to recommend and nominate Mrs. Cooper as a character in our past.
Who can tell us about this?
Harold too.
They used to have the library and the post office together, way down on the other end of town.
Okay, yeah, the post office was a mystery for me 2 weeks ago, wasn't it? Trying to track that down because there was no record of where the post office was prior to the lure, well, behind the bank, I guess, is the farthest back we could go, or with a tentative across the street from the Horseshoe Bar. Anyone want to describe the Coopers to us?
Well, one incident, Harold Cooper, as many of you remember, had quite a vocabulary. And one night, it was a terrible storm. We were living up by the fairgrounds at the time there, and the storm had taken down some trees toward the fair, toward the Clear Lake Park. And he was working on a pole all by himself. He was spread so thin that he was working by himself, and I volunteered to be his ground man because I had a little experience in that. However, I said, Harold, if you'll have to clean up your vocabulary first before I'll do this, and I walked into the house. And shortly afterwards, he rang the doorbell, or he knocked on the door. I guess the doorbell didn't work at that time, but he knocked on the door, and he said, well, he says, I'll try to clean it up a bit. And I worked with him a couple of hours at that time. But Harold was known for his vocabulary and his expressiveness, but it was kind of interesting, too. He loved music, and he'd go to the symphonies, he'd go up to Minneapolis, and remember that? The operas, yeah,
quite often with Reverend Stowe.
Right.
Well, he was so different from his wife. He was a coarse, crude character, and she was very precise about everything, and belonged to the WTCU, Women's Christian Temperance Union, and was very influential in every organization that she belonged to.
Interested in intellectual.
Yes, very intellectual.
Just women voters.
Oh yes, League of Women Voters too. That was an organization that was very active here when we first moved to town.
Another incident about Harold Cooper. He was the head of the Water and Light in Waseca here. And I wanted to wire my own, the upstairs of our house. We had an upstairs finished, and I wanted to do my own wiring. He was telling me how to do it, and actually he went overboard. I had to put a piece of steel in front of every 2x4 where the wires went through, this sort of thing, and I knew that that was beyond what normally was done, but I did it dutifully, did it, and when it came to inspection time, I said, Harold is ready for inspection. He says, I don't need to inspect it. He says, I know that upstairs is the best wired upstairs in the city of Waseca.
Well, this has been real interesting. Is there, Mrs. Sharp, do you have a comment?
I was wondering if anybody knows what happened one time when my husband and I were going down to the country kitchen for dinner and we saw a photographer taking pictures of Main Street.
A younger boy?
Jim Mitchell was little.
Oh, I think we have some of those photographs, and the name escapes me who took some Main Street, and that was... I was thinking of
Sankovich.
Was
that the one that
was on? Maybe that was it. But, you know, I would love to see Main Street documented every year. Some of our most valuable photographs, and as you saw in the slideshow, are of the town's businesses. And we had a young man do it last year for an Eagle Scout project, and you wouldn't believe how downtown has changed since he took those photographs. It's amazing, and it's, you know, it's a slow evolution. You don't notice it, you know, every day. You know, businesses don't just close and change ownership, but it's very interesting, especially interiors. I wanted him to get the stores with the people who worked in the stores. A lot of them wouldn't cooperate, but I love that. You know, in another 30 or 40 years, that's going to be so interesting to people and what they were selling for what prices. We always love to see that.
And then you've got the tape of John Arnston.
Yes.
And
those oral histories are also really valuable. Either, you know, oral histories, or if you can write down your recollections, those help tell us what life was like, what life and work was like a long time ago.
Thank you.
and going through the newspapers and seeing the prices, it is real interesting. And having carload sales, where now we have truckloads, you know, that just those subtle changes in how people advertise and how they try to attract their customers and what attracts their customers is interesting.
No, we're not going to have any more train
people.
I know. It's really...
Oh, there still might be hope.
I think.
I saw a coach train go through, it was Owatonna, I guess, going north and south on the old Rock Island line. And I was real excited.
Well, I grew up a long ways from Waseca, but when I read this Every Town USA, I knew there was a common thread everywhere. Because in 1943, my dad told my 13-year-old brother he had to take his two little sisters to the movie, and he gave him 60 cents. And they could get into the movie and buy popcorn, and they could stay for the newsreel, the cartoon, the show, the newsreel, and the cartoon again. But then they had to get home before the 10 o'clock whistle blew. And when they got home,